going to be talking about an issue that we've talked about an awful lot, actually, here at WSVA, and that is about EPA rules and how they may or may not affect the folks here in the Shenandoah Valley. And now, of course, we've been talking about all sorts of different EPA rules, one dealing with, the clean air, another one's dealing with clean water, and the effects can be fairly wide-ranging, especially considering we are in the Chesapeake Bay watershed. So this comes, as you guys, I'm sure, are pretty aware, a pretty big deal.
Exactly.
Well, was just trying to, I guess, get a sense, the things are starting to fire up a little bit, and, you know, what are the effects right now? Well, I guess I should first say, where are we as far as this new EPA rule protecting wetland areas in Virginia?
Well, Carl, this is Scott Kovarovics. I'm the executive director of the Isaac Walton League at the national level, and maybe I can address that. Where we are right now is the EPA and the Army Corps issued a final rule late in the spring, and it became effective at the end of the summer. However, it's been challenged nationwide, multiple lawsuits, and in early October, a federal appeals court temporarily suspended implementation of the rule nationwide, pending the judicial process running its course. So we're in a bit of a waiting period here while the courts sort out the various lawsuits. And the rule is suspended during that period of time.
Now, this is a rule that, and I mean, so much of this stuff kind of melds together when you start talking about what's been news here in the Valley. And part of that has obviously been some folks concerned about what the Forest Service was going to do with a fracking rule and that sort of thing. And it kind of reminded everybody of where our water that we drink comes from. And I think maybe, you know, we talked to some folks with, on the river, and, you know, they're worried about angling and, you know, our hunters and that sort of thing. But, and those are big deals. But ultimately, when I turn on the spigot at the house, my water's coming from pretty nearby. And I'm assuming, to me, that's where the real impact is.
That's exactly right, Carl. This is Herschel Fitch. I am a conservation chairman for the Warren County chapter of the Isaac Walton League of America up here in Front Royal. And clean water is extremely important to all of us. We've got so many streams and small tributaries that flow into the Shenandoah River here, and that is the main source of drinking water for just about everybody in the valley, unless you are, you know, out on a remote subdivision. We don't have large reservoirs where we're drawing our water from. Our water is coming out of the river. We treat it. We pass it through the grid, and we treat it again as it goes out and put it back in the river. And like the old bumper sticker says, if you see up and down the valley, we all live downstream. But the ultimate end is that is our drinking water, and this the new clean water rule will help keep those small streams and tributaries protected so that we're not having to spend so much money upgrading water treatment plants to take care of the various pathogens and viruses and bacteria that we find in our waters. There's a lot of effort been going on with, especially with our Shenandoah Riverkeeper organization, trying to improve the quality of the water in those small streams and tributaries. I know our agricultural folks are extremely concerned about this new clean water rule, making some kind of new regulations that's going to be very expensive for them to follow, and it really does not do anything new. You can still drive your tractors and, you know, go across your pasture land. It doesn't affect your ponds. It doesn't affect the ditches on your farm. And doesn't apply to your koi ponds or your water features in your yard. It just clarifies and makes it much easier to understand what the Clean Water Act covers and what it does not.
Gentlemen, are you genuinely concerned that this will be overturned?
Well, I think, you know, this is Scott again, that there's, you know, unrelenting attacks on the rule across the country, whether it's multiple lawsuits filed in courts all across the country, or the fact that some members of Congress, you know, are just adamantly committed to trying to, you know, roll back this common sense proposal. We had a number of votes in the United States Senate just 2 weeks ago on bills that would not only repeal the rule, but prevent the Army Corps and EPA from moving forward with similar solutions to the problem in the future, basically locking in the confusion, the gridlock, the uncertainty that threaten our waters today, and frankly don't provide the development community with the certainty that they're seeking. And we may see that again here in the next couple weeks. One of those bills was narrowly passed. I'd say Senators Warner and Kaine stood with hunters and anglers and conservationists across Virginia by opposing both of those bills, and they've been very, very strong in their support for clean water, while at the same time working with constituencies across Virginia to help them get the information, the facts they need from the Corps and from EPA. And we can see as Congress moves forward here the next couple weeks to try to pass, you know, a year-end government funding bill, that again, you might see amendments coming back in, you know, to a bill that's about funding the government, not about policy, but to prevent the EPA and the Army Corps from moving forward. So that's a real threat going forward over the next couple weeks.
Am I crazy, or is this kind of, you know, we're sitting here talking on a pretty regular basis about more federal money being made available possibly, or state money being made available to help farmers in our area with stream exclusion and things like that. Then on the other hand, you're looking at something like this being possibly tossed out. It seems like the left hand and the right hand, not only do they not know what the other's doing, they're fighting.
Yeah, I don't think we've got anything to be concerned about as far as the funds that are available for exclusion of livestock out of streams and tributaries on farms. That was done at a state level, and you know, basically the federal government doesn't have the authority to stop that. But
well, that's what I'm saying is that you know, while we're doing something on one hand, we're almost, you know, on another hand, we're willing to kind of throw out some of the things to help the streams. It just seems strange that, you know, all these efforts are being made on the local level, and then here at the federal level, we're fighting to maybe, in some regards, undo a lot of the work that's being done in a way.
Yeah, you know, I see what you're talking about.
Yeah, I think the bottom line here is there's, you know, a lot of support out there for family farmers, whether it be the investments that you just talked about in terms of helping folks to protect stream banks, bring water to their cows if, you know, we're getting them out of the stream and off, you know, and off of the banks. The fact of the matter, too, is with respect to this rule and the Clean Water Act itself, there is clear protections for agriculture. I just want to read one thing from the Clean Water Act itself. This is language from the Clean Water Act that provides exemption from the Clean Water Act, from the wetland conservation provisions. And one of those exemptions applies to, and this is a direct quote, normal farming, silviculture, which is logging, and ranching activities such as plowing, seeding, cultivating, minor drainage, harvesting for the production of food, fiber, and forest products, or upland soil and water conservation practices. That is a sweeping exemption for almost any conceivable agriculture practice out there from the law itself. So, you know, we've got on the one hand financial support for family farmers, which our organization, the Isaac Walton League, strongly supports, as well as the fact that the existing Clean Water Act already provides a broad exemption for agriculture from the law. So, you know, when you look at this rule, as Herschel stressed, this is about putting the status quo that existed really from 72 to 2001 back in place. These small streams wetlands adjacent to those streams and other waters were protected historically under the Clean Water Act, and the rule is about putting that back together again, nothing more.
Herschel, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but are you saying in a way that maybe there's some folks in Congress that don't understand the legislation?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. They need to really get close, you know, do a very careful reading of the Clean Water Act and the Clean Water Rule and exactly what it was meant to do. It's, you know, in no way is it meant to hinder farmers or to hinder, the normal course of business, here in the valley. It's, I can't stress enough how important keeping this river clean is, and allowing farmers to continue on and do what they do best, which is grow our food and get it to market, it's imperative for us here in the valley. What we do need to do, though, is protect these small streams and tributaries that flow into the Shenandoah River. Over the years, as our population has grown, as our poultry industry has grown here, it's put some tremendous stress on our river, which is, of course, our drinking water again. And the Clean Water Rule will help clarify what is allowed and what is not.
Yeah. Guys, I know I've already taken up about 12 minutes of your time. This is a big deal to me just because, I got four kayaks at my house, and we try and get them in the water as often as possible.
You beat me. I've got three.
I probably got more people living in the house.
probably.
I'm on basically anywhere from Falks Run to Strasburg at any particular time, and I know the Shenandoah River Keeper, as you mentioned, the algae blooms and all those things are concerns. And, to do anything that would mitigate the hard work that's being done to try to fix those situations just doesn't seem to make a lot of sense to me.
No, it really doesn't. And Jeff Kelby and all the river keepers that are working under the Potomac River Keeper Network these days are, they're out there every day, really doing the grunt work that needs to be done to mitigate some of that stuff and to make the people aware that can actually do something about it. That this is an issue. This is a problem. We need to keep plugging away. We've actually seen some improvement here and there, but we just got to keep working at it.
Gentlemen, I really appreciate the time, and I don't know how I wound up on Maury's list, but I'm glad I did to get a hold of you guys. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Good. We appreciate it.
Happy to do it, Carl.
All right. Take care.
Take care.
You too.
Bye-bye.